Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Yeah, I think we're going live everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Gracious Two, back again? I believe we're at show 14. I'm not 100% sure.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think it's 14.
And it seems like it's going live on Instagram, but we're in the feed this time, so I don't know if they got their shit together. I'm not sure, though. I will show the audience this bad boy. This is your Gracious Two gear.
Oh, snap.
Yes.
I got to get some. I need a coffee mug.
Dude, totally. They got nice travel mugs. They got cool, regular mugs. They got all that jazz.
Sweet.
Yes. So we do have our young Bobby with us. We did have the beauty of a live show, right, folks? We had two guests booked. Well, really one guest booked. They canceled kind of last minute. And I had somebody else to kind of fill in, but they had an emergency. So we're flying solo.
It's just us. You get to hear us bullshit the whole time.
Yes. If somebody has my number and wants to try to chime in, I'll see if I could get you on. Sometimes I get so distracted by texts and stuff, I just don't look at it. My ADHD doesn't allow me to do multiple things at once.
Yes. So
it's amazing. I could be in the middle of something and like forget what the hell I'm doing. And then all of a sudden I'm like, what? And I'm on to other things. It's a beautiful affliction I have.
Oh, I mean, you know, as we all get older, that shit happens to us all the time. That's why I may interject sort of out of the blue on you sometimes because I'm thinking of something. I got to say it, bro. Forget it. It goes.
Yeah.
Later.
Gone forever.
And I'll remember it after the show's over. Damn it.
Yeah. You're like, shit.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to pull that up, Bobby, if you got it. Bobby has some information on, I don't even know. It was something about Israel and Hamas in 2012.
It's The Economist magazine showed Israel fighting Hamas, exactly how it happened. They coming in on the paragliders, and it was all shown to us in 2012.
Wow.
It's like pre-programming. That's what they do.
Exactly. I was going to say, Bobby, you're correct. They pre-program you for all this shit. And you just got to connect the dots once it happens. You're like, oh, yeah. It's pretty fucking wild.
It is wild, man. You don't think that we're the United States is full of propaganda and all this stuff, but we're being led just as blindly as, say, Russia and China, to be honest. I mean, we don't know what politicians have our best interests and everybody who runs off their campaign doesn't fulfill their promises. I don't know. Cards are stacked against us.
Seemingly more and more, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so Chad, I was checking some stuff out. When you guys started Live or Public Affection back in the day, it was a three-piece with you, Chad Taylor, and Patrick Dalheimer. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Now, is that...
Eighth grade.
Now, is that the start with, was that Public Affection and then Ed joined, or were you nameless at that point?
Our very first name, it was the three of us in eighth grade, 1985. Our very first name was First Aid.
Ah.
And we did a talent show at the school talent show in eighth grade under that name. And
okay.
We won the talent show. We won $20.
Nice.
And we had all the screaming girls in the audience, which is, you know, that was like, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. We like this.
Yeah.
And so that was at the end of the school year. So we went into summer of 85 and then we were going into freshman high school in,
okay,
you know, that fall. And that's when Ed came to Chad and came to one of the practices, and they were talking, and then Chad was like, we're going to bring No, we knew Ed. Ed was in different classes than we were.
Okay.
Ed's a very pseudo, I mean, super intellectual guy, but in middle school, he was like a metalhead dude, like in the Ozzy and shit. And so he was in kind of the second tier classes, whereas Patrick, Chad, and I were in the like first tier classes.
Oh, wow.
Don't ask me how, because like I said, he's super smart, but like I think it was like almost like a badge of honor to him at that point, because he was like fucking metalhead dude, you know, like a badass. Yeah. So anyway, so we knew Ed, but we weren't on any classes with him, but Chad knew him from elementary school. And so that summer, Chad's like, yeah, Ed wants to come over and play with us. We're like, okay, cool. What's he play? Like, yeah, it's guitar. Okay. Well, he came over and he's playing guitar with us. And I think at some point we're like, let's try a song. Ed, you want to sing? He's like, yeah, I'll sing.
Rock on.
I think we did Summer of 69.
Nice.
And so he left. This is in my basement in my house. I lived in this kind of three-story townhouse in York, 331 North Newberry Street, if you ever want to go check it out.
Yes.
Still there.
Annoy the new owners.
That's right. He leaves the basement, and then the three of us look at each other. We're like, man, he's the singer.
Yeah.
And we just fucking decided, which is actually what he wanted to do, but we didn't know that when he came. He wanted to be the singer, but.
How fun.
Yeah.
So the first time you guys play together, you hear it, you're like, okay, we found our singer. How long were you three playing together before Ed had joined?
Oh boy. I mean, we started rehearsing for that talent show probably. So that talent show was in June-ish. We started rehearsing for it in maybe like April or May.
Okay.
So maybe a couple months.
Got you.
Before that. And you know, Mr. Karn, our music teacher, put us together.
Oh wow. So the world owes him a fucking huge round of applause. Thank you, sir.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he was on our Behind the Music, because we always tell the story about Mr. Karn being involved and putting the three of us together. And then he was our music teacher, because Ed played trumpet in the band, Chad played trumpet in the band, I played sax, Patrick played all kinds of percussion stuff. And so Mr. Karn put us together. He's still a teacher in the York City School District to this day.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And he's an amazing violinist and bass player. That's why Patrick was inspired by him. Really good jazz bass player. Amazing.
Yeah.
But still teaching.
Good for him, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully still inspiring the youth, too, to follow their dreams, so to speak.
It seems to, yeah. Nice. He's a great teacher. I mean, obviously, he's been doing it this long. He's an amazing teacher. And he fostered our dream.
For sure. Now, so ninth grade, I guess you four get together or around that. And then I think the first gig you guys played was Temple Dance.
No, the first gig we played was this lady named Katie Carlson, who was unfortunately passed away, and her friend Jody Bradford. They had us play at her. She had like a party in her house, and that was kind of the first thing we ever played. And at that point, we changed our name over summer from First Aid to Action Front, which then became the name of our primary corporation, which is still in existence, Action Front Unlimited Incorporated.
Okay.
That still controls the trademark of Live to this day. So we were Action Front for a little bit. We played her party, just covers and stuff. We were just doing covers at this point. And that was 80s. Probably, well, towards the end, maybe 86. We were in high school then, so it was like 86 or 87. Can't remember exactly. We did a lot of practicing with no gigs.
That's good, though. I mean, you guys were honing the craft, because it almost seems like as soon as you guys started playing out, it wasn't too long before you're playing like Chameleon Club, CBGBs. Like, it seemed like a pretty like fast ramp up.
Yeah, we did her party in like maybe 86 or 87. 87, we jumped up. We were at the Temple Dance, and we jumped up between the band that was booked. They let us jump up between one of their set breaks.
Nice.
We played like three songs, blew the fucking doors off the place.
Hell yeah.
All the chicks were going crazy. We're like, all right. So we got asked to do it the following year, 1988. So we headlined it.
Ah, because there is a video of you guys playing at the Temple Dance. I wonder if it's from the original or if it's from the next year. You're playing, I believe, an REM cover. I'm not sure. I saw it a while ago. But
yeah, I don't know if that was I think that was when we jumped up.
Ah, so cool.
Hold on, man.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my Bobby, ex is texting me about my son's paper I couldn't get printed today that we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Chad had to Chad got told last minute rather than last night that something needed to be printed, and here we are. Bobby, why don't you if you have that thing ready to share, why don't you pull that up on the screen and I'll start talking about that while Chad responds to his
And then so we were Action Front for most of that time, and then we went through a bunch of weird fucking names like Bad Odor Boys, Bob, and we were Club Fungus for a bit.
I've never heard these names.
Yeah. And then we settled on Public Affection in like end of 88, 89 ish, somewhere in there. Oh, no, we were Public Affection when we played Temple Dance. So it has to be like 88.
Ah. And then, geez. So is this it, Bobby? This is what you wanted to pull up? I'm going to get back to that.
Yeah, this is.
Has this up.
This cool. is the cover. You see here, Hamas, Israel, and they're fighting each other.
Wow.
With the little paragliders.
Holy shit.
Oh, geez, that, I mean, for sure.
But so did Hamas copy The Economist?
Yeah, The Economist always has pre-programming, always. Right.
Well, that...
This shows the seven sins, the seven deadly sins. You could see if you zoom in. I'm not sure how to zoom it in now.
Yeah.
But did the Simpsons predict this?
Right. That's the most important part, because they get everything.
Yeah. Matt Groening is a Mason.
Yeah, he's a 33rd degree Mason. Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. He knows what the fuck's going on. All right, here we go. Let's zoom this in.
That's $2,500 for that?
I was say, why the fuck is that book so expensive?
All right, here we go.
There you go.
All right, so look, this was in 2012, right? And it's pretty much showing you what the fuck happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think we can forget, right? They've been kind of fighting since 1967, right? When they took
But the gliders and everything, yeah. That's too much, bro.
Yeah,
that's too on the money.
Pretty fucking wild, yeah.
This also shows the seven deadly sins, gluttony, oil, America, you know.
Is that Kim Jong-un or ill right there?
Yeah, that's Kim Jong. You got Putin. You got
Assad right there, Bashar al-Assad. And fucking,
yep.
What's then that guy? Ahmadinejad?
Satan's over here with the climate change bullshit machine.
Oh, my God. There you go.
Wow.
India and China polluting the shit out of the world.
Still,
nobody cares.
I guess we need to know who wrote this book and what.
And then you got Obama here.
Yeah.
And he's on the worst sin, the sin that made Lucifer fall.
Pride. Interesting.
And he's the one that allowed all the gay marriage. He's the one that signed that into law.
I'm all for gay marriage, by the way. If you want to fucking.
No, I'm not saying nothing's bad about it. I'm just saying that's.
Well, I just wanted to make that statement.
But that was after he and Biden took the stance that they were against gay marriage, and then they signed it in. And then they were for gay marriage because
it's on agenda.
It worked for their political gains.
Right.
And you got Simon Cowell here, and the devil's singing.
Judging.
And then you got the devil's hacking. We're gonna see cyber attacks in the next couple months.
It just happened in Kyiv today, actually. So President Zelensky is in Washington, D.C., and Ukraine just got hit with a crazy cyber from Russia.
Asking for more money.
$64 billion.
Oh, my God. Fuck you.
$10 billion, bro.
My son just told me that the average age of the combat soldier in Ukraine is, guess.
Oh, I'm going to say young, man. 18, 20?
No.
Really?
No.
14.
54.
What? Yes.
Holy shit.
That shows their lack of manpower to go forward. This is they're fucked.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Look at the young kids in America, too. The young kids in America, they're not ready to fight anything.
Well, I don't know if they're the Ukrainians' unwillingness to fight. I think that's how many people they fucking lost.
Yeah.
They're grinding down to the. I mean, that's what happened to the Germans in World War II. They started. Soldiers got older and older, or skewed younger and younger into like 12 and 11 year olds defending the homeland from Russians.
Right.
Fuck. So,
and Russia, man, in World War II, they suffered a crazy amount of loss. I don't know if this is true, but I just watched on Netflix. It's like the World War II something, but it's all, they all colorized it, so it looks dope.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, it said that 60 million people were lost in that war. That can't be true.
I think that's true.
Yeah, wow. I would agree.
Oh my God.
I mean, civilians and combat deaths. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, man. I thought like, you know, because you always hear the 8 million Jewish people that were in the Holocaust and all that stuff. So I thought maybe you add like another 8 or 10, you know, 18 million, 60 million people, dude.
That's, we lost 450,000 soldiers.
Yeah. And we came in late.
But yeah, I mean, you had the whole Eastern theater with the Japanese just slaughtering the fucking Chinese, I mean, by the millions.
Yeah.
And whoever else they invaded, you know.
Right. And then you had Russia. If we didn't have them in that war, man, they incurred big losses and still kept running soldiers out there because they it was a big, you know, part of, you know, winning, I think.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. There's immense speculation that we wouldn't have won the war without Russia's, you know, being right. involved.
Yeah, I agree. Our young Bobby said that Russia should be our allies. I mean, if they were to get their shit together and be more democratic, I mean, I thought honestly, when Trump was in office and him and Putin were having meetings and stuff, I thought that was like a start to turning things around. And then,
I agree.
Yeah. And then,
but of course, the media classified it as he's buddying up to Trump or he's buddying up to Putin. He must be Putin crony. It's like, oh yeah. My God. Yeah, that's what's going on. You don't talk to the world leaders that you want to, you know, like try to have some kind of peace with. You just ignore them. Okay, sure.
I mean, his diplomacy was amazing. I mean, just to, you know, not that this guy deserves any world stage, but to just talk to the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, just to see where his mind is at. I think that's a fucking great, brilliant move. Maybe this guy just needs to have his taint tickled a little bit and, you know, he won't be such a fucking evil prick. But,
yeah,
you know, kibosh.
It's worth a try. It was worth a try. I mean, the whole time he wasn't firing missiles and stuff.
Right. You hear that North Korea's got a spy satellite now?
Great.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, I heard their, like, you know, resolution and shit of what they could see is pretty, pretty like Stone Age, but still.
It's probably a helium balloon.
Right, exactly.
Hey, China,
but the whole Russia-Ukraine thing, I mean, that was just, we've been pushing on them for fucking decades and threatening to put Ukraine into NATO and.
Right.
And that was Putin's red line. And here we are. And they just kept pushing him.
So
told you that was the red line. He told everybody that was the red line. Now here we are. And we got fucking Zelensky begging us for billions of dollars more. They have so much corruption in their leadership. There's all kinds of Ukrainian officials that are getting busted for embezzling money, taking money. Yeah. I saw this lady who was in Monaco in a cab and she's driving down this road where all the gigantic super yachts are. Mm-hmm. And the cab driver's like, I've never seen so many Ukrainian flag yachts in Monaco. Oh, because we're sending them money with no fucking accounting. Who knows where it goes?
Right. I mean,
and now here he is again. I need $64 billion more dollars. The fucking balls on this guy is ridiculous. But I mean, the speculation is that he has so much on Biden, he can just come and fucking ask for it and like, okay, here you go.
I am so sure on that. I mean, because that was before this war started, that was like the big story is all the shady dealings that Hunter Biden did in Ukraine to get political favor.
Where Burisma was from, that he was on the board of that gas company, getting $83,000 a month for God knows how long. And his dad was sitting there. I think it was a council foreign relations meeting where he was like, yeah, so I wanted them to fire the prosecutor, and I said, you don't get the $1 billion if you don't fire him. And what do you know? They fired some bitch.
Right.
But he had nothing to do with anything. Big Joe, or Little Joe didn't know anything. Doesn't know anything.
I wonder what it takes for people to just start doing a little bit of research and just kind of, you know, checking out the other side of the coin type of deal. Like, I've always been that type of person. If somebody tells me something...
Too.
Yeah, I need to check it out and make sure, because I just don't think how a smart, logical person sees what's going on in these past 3 to almost 4 years and thinks everything is okay. Like these policies are great. They're working.
Right. Or that, you know, there's all this corruption, obvious corruption on the Biden side, but they have Trump on trial.
Right.
For all this bullshit. Right.
Yeah.
But they're all cool with that because it's Trump, because they've been taught that he's evil and he's to be hated. Did you see that Jim Brewer skit that's been going around?
No.
About Trump supporters or people that are anti-Trump. I can't really imitate him, but it's funny to look up. It's hilarious.
When Bobby gets back here, we'll see if he can pull that up. He had to, I think, tinkle. I'm not sure.
Ow.
But it's just strange, dude. Like I have like family members who I love and respect, and they're just not paying attention to like what's going on, and they're still all pro-left and pro-Biden and stuff. And I'm like, can you tell me why? And then if they ask me, like, well, what do you support Trump for? I could list 150 different reasons why.
This is just about every fucking person you ever try to get an answer out of.
I have seen some people switch, but I've also seen a lot of people just burying their head in the sand and going off of, you know, headlines and not really diving into it. I mean, it's clear that there's so much corruption in the Biden household. You know what I'm saying? It's evident.
I mean, look at the fucking, just the cocaine thing in the White House.
Right.
Just that alone is like, how the fuck you're going to tell me that who's this? Secret Service. Oh, I thought someone was coming on. You're going to tell me that the Secret Service can't figure out whose cocaine that was? They fucking know. But they've been embarrassed now because Biden has like forbid them to fucking tell anybody because it's obviously Hunter. Who else is bringing coke into the White House?
And not only that, who else would be the only one to do that and get away with it? And,
right. Have the ability to even fucking do it.
Right, right.
The most secure house in the fucking, probably one of the most secure buildings in the fucking whole world.
It better be, right?
You would hope. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't want to disparage the Secret Service because I think they're an amazing, amazing organization, but they've had to look stupid in front of for all this because Biden's a corrupt piece of shit and his son's a fucking drug addict.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, did you, in 1901, President McKinley was assassinated. Did you know that?
Sure, yeah.
I've heard the name McKinley. I did not hear that he was assassinated, but it seems like if you go through the history of our presidents, it's like every fucking 40 to 60 years, somebody's getting fucking attempted.
Oh, yeah. So I remember watching this. There was this documentary thing back in like the 80s or 90s called The Zero Factor.
Right.
Any president that's been assassinated was elected in a zero year.
Oh, wow.
So McKinley, Lincoln, the attempt on Reagan, he was elected in a zero year, a bunch of others. Kennedy, I think I said Kennedy. So Kennedy, a few more. Who else was assassinated? Kennedy.
Was it Kennedy zero? You might be right.
I believe, yeah. I think it was 1960.
Yeah. So that's a zero year, right? That's what you mean by zero year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Any year that ended in zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. Just when I start like dissecting information like that, I'm like, okay, who the fuck is going to have the, you know, wherewithal or whatever to assassinate a U.S. president unless somebody on the inside is helping with that? Is like unless we're just that weak of a country and I just have this faith in us that, you know, I shouldn't. It seems to me like that should be the hardest person in the world to, try to assassinate or assassinate.
Well, in times past, there was no Secret Service. I mean, and people, you could just go basically walk into the White House, like back in the day. There was,
right.
I mean, it wasn't as secure as it is now. And there definitely was no Secret Service. When did the Secret Service start?
The Secret Service started to, I think, to guard our gold. Like that was their goal, the gold. Yeah. It wasn't even to protect the president and stuff like that. It was like to protect our gold.
Yes. But when did they start protecting the president? That was it after Lincoln?
Ooh, you got me, man.
Yeah. That up.
I think it was definitely after Lincoln.
Yeah. It was before
McKinley or maybe around there. I don't know.
But was it after? Was it there? Was there Secret Service during Kennedy? Yeah, there's Secret Service then.
Definitely. Yeah.
Do you know all presidents are related except McKinley?
What do you mean by that?
They're all cousins.
Really?
They're all related. Yeah. You can find that information out online. Yep.
Wow. That sounds like
every single one.
Fact check that. I'm not sure on that.
I've not heard that one.
Fact check it. Fact check it. Fact check it.
But people fact check it. Don't give me your fucking Facebook fact check. That's all bullshit and leading.
Exactly. To Instagram fact checkers.
Right.
No, it's all over. It's all over the internet. All over.
There's a lot of shit on the internet that's not true. Like the earth.
No, I know that. I know that. But you know what I mean.
So back to the whole, you know, lefty thing and like how they're entrenched in their beliefs. Like, you know, you saw people wearing masks. You saw people telling you that they're like, I see all these women on all these apps are like, I'm quadruple vaxxed. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
And who fucking cares, first of all? And why? Or I'm vaxxed, you should be too.
Yeah.
Why?
Vaxxed and masked.
So if you're vaxxed and believe in it, then it doesn't matter what I do because you're immune.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yo, so no. Mr. Howard Stern's best friend Ralph Sorella died of an unusual heart, issue. And
I didn't see this. Yeah,
Mr. Bobby, you got to mute yourself. Mr. Howard Stern doesn't find any relation to, you know, the guy being like 56 and he fucking dies of some heart disease that he never had before. You don't find.
No, they won't.
No,
they won't. No, they just won't. They won't even match it up. They don't. They don't. They're like fucking blind to it. They don't even want to know about it.
Can I chime in one thing?
Please.
Sure.
I know six people now, and I was with one that's had a heart attack since they've had the vaccine. Six people personally.
I believe
my boy George. He had a heart attack. He was vaxxed.
Yeah.
That's before I got to him. He got vaxxed as soon as it came out. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? He's like, what do you mean? Like,
doing my duty.
He gave it to his kids too. I'm like, what are you, the fuck are you doing, man? I was like, watch this video. Watch, what was his name? Dr. Malone on Joe Rogan, the guy who helped invent the technology. He's like, do not take this.
Mm-hmm.
Do not take it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to listen to that guy. Because he was the only guy involved in the team of those people that invented that, including Fauci, that was not getting paid from it.
Oh.
Ow.
Yeah.
Ow. Hmm. But that's all bullshit, though. I just saw a good quote by Elon Musk. He's like something like, paraphrasing, he's like, they're coming after me because I exposed the liars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they hate me because I exposed the liars, but they don't hit the liars.
They love,
that's the fucking world. It's so weird, man.
It's backwards.
It's fucking, it's strange, dude. It's like I lost
upside down clown world. That's what I always call it. It's fucking weird. And even so, and then I was listening to a show today and the guy was saying that, you know, it's like the media will destroy people for telling you the truth until they tell the truth. Like shit that you knew was not real.
Yeah.
They're blocking people for it and they're canceling people for it. And then all of a sudden one day it's like, oh no, the Hunter Belt laptop is real.
Right.
Oh, exactly.
Trump was colluding with Russia. Oh, really?
Oh, wow. But we're just going to shove that under the rug and you just keep listening to us because we're telling you the truth. Like, people just keep fucking listening to them.
Well, I was watching the news.
And we're the whack jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
sorry, go ahead.
That's what's said.
We're just ahead of the time.
I'm watching the news last week and reporters are asking, President Biden directly, did you have any relations with your son's business partners? No, no. And then they skip to the 1,100 pages of fucking factual proof that they have that he not only met them, but has done shady shit with them. And like the guy's just sitting there lying to us, to our face.
He is a pathological liar. He's done this his whole fucking career. He lies about fucking everything, literally to your face. I was a college professor. I was the top of my class. I have a fucking law degree from here and here. It's like all lies, just fucking lies. It's insane.
that provable and that in your face, how do you respect a person like that? Like if my, you know, significant other or somebody was like literally lying to my face, like how do I fucking, how am I okay with that? I'm not. It's absolutely absurd.
And they just keep on going along with it and keep wanting to vote for him.
Is it that people have been wrong for so long that they can't like admit like what, like they were duped and like this isn't the fucking savior? Like,
I think that's a big part of it is like that most people don't want to admit that they've been fucking, you know, that they've been duped.
That's the key to healing though. And moving forward, you know, you got to realize like your abuser who abused you and then get out of that relationship, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Once you wake up to your abuse, you got to be like, okay, I'm out of here. Or you just put your head down and keep getting shit whacked out of you.
Yeah, like I feel like the entire or a lot of the half of the U.S. has got Stockholm syndrome and they're just like infatuated with their captor.
Well, exactly. Yes, they are defending their abuser.
You nailed it.
Thank you, sir. But yeah, it's just strange, man. I'll tell you something that fucking freaked me out, and I got to do my more research on this, but I think it's true that the moon is moving away from Earth just at a like regular pace, nothing crazy, like fucking 3 millimeters a year or something. Mm-hmm. But at some point it'll be so far, you know, moved away from Earth that it'll like either drop out of our orbit and not, you know, because it controls our tides. It blocks the sun. Yeah. There's a lot of make us this lovely Earth that we have. And I'm reading this, I'm like, holy shit, dude, that's scary. But supposedly it's a very, very long time away. But
yes,
what's a very, very long time away? Like, you know, how old is the planet? And we've kind of been recording history for a couple thousand years. And that seems to have gone by in a blink of an eye. So in the grand scheme of things, time could be slow or just crazy fast. And I'm just not sure where we're at there. Got to get to Mars.
I've heard about this. I mean, yes, yeah, it's moving away from us a little slightly every year, and eventually it will not be in our orbit anymore.
Dude,
around us.
Yeah, I had no idea that the moon was formed by. I watched this whole thing like basically a huge ass asteroid banged into Earth like
glancing blow. Yes.
Yeah, dude, like it broke apart Earth, and that portion of Earth became the fucking moon.
Wasn't I thought it was a protoplanet called like? Wasn't it a protoplanet?
Oh, I don't even know what a protoplanet is.
That's just like a small planet.
Tiamat was the name of it.
Tiamat?
Yeah, there's a lot to research in that area.
That's what struck us, Tiamat, or.
Yeah, it was like a glancing blow, and like, yeah, go ahead.
Supposedly, there's an elliptical orbit planet called Nibiru that circles every like couple thousand years. Every time it comes around, it causes cataclysms because anything in our skies is going to mess with our seismic activity, volcanic activity. You could see with the sun. The sun's energy is affecting all the seismic activity right now. We're in a solar maximum right now.
Yeah, man.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, I've looked into the whole Nibiru thing. Like some people call it Planet X, and there is a large body that they're detecting out past the, the Oort cloud?
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's a few masses, a few masses of Earth. It's pretty big.
Jeez.
But you can't see it.
Which is strange.
Right.
I mean, do you think that they have, like, say something was coming at us, do you think they have the technology now to fucking, I know they have this dart system that supposedly could hit an asteroid and, like, knock it out of its movement and kind of send it into a different type of orbit or some shit. But you think they actually have the technology to stop something from crashing into us at this point or no?
I don't know. It depends on depends on when they see it, how far away it is.
I was hoping you would say yes, and I could just take that and put it as gospel and feel safe, but.
What was the movie? Bruce Willis? That was a great movie.
Oh, you're right.
Armageddon. Yes, exactly.
Armageddon. That was a great movie.
Water. I don't know if you're too cold to drink water. You want some water?
Bobby, mute yourself. Jesus, Christmas. Sorry about that, folks.
Sorry.
All good, all good. What do you have on in the background, dude? What's going on over there?
No, it's my boy. He was asking me if I want something to drink.
Tell your boy you're live on everywhere you could be. So Chad, getting back to those early days. I think we said about 86, 87. You played Temple Dance a couple times. When or how did you start playing, like, in New York or CBGBs? Was this like after you put out Death of a Dictionary? I'm guessing it was.
Yeah, 87 played, and then 88 played Temple Dance, and then 89 was our last year. So that was, that's when we graduated in 89, June of 89. So that we played the Temple Dance, and then we were raising money. We sold bonds.
Yes.
To all our friends and family to raise $12,000 to make a record. And actually, Chad Taylor got that idea from his dad's boss. His dad worked for this big construction company, and this guy named Dominic Perini.
Nice.
And Chad sat and asked him for money to make a record, and he's like, "I'll tell you how to make a record, sell junk bonds." And he's like, "What?" So we sold junk bonds, $100 a piece, friends and family. And actually, Dominic Perini bought the first one that day, put in $100, and we raised $12,000. At this point, we had badgered this guy David Sestek into being our manager. Like, we didn't leave him alone until he said yes. I don't know how or fucking why we picked him, but we did.
Right.
So he was our manager. We started making the record, and we actually got we made that record during school because we got the copies of it right before we graduated. We got the cassettes.
Oh, wow.
So it was in the spring. On the weekends, we would go up to that studio. Actually, it only took like 2 days. We recorded everything in 2 days.
Wow.
I think it was over a weekend. So went to the studio outside of Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Up near Bill.
Maybe East Stroudsburg. I know that.
Maybe, yeah. Fuck, what's the damn name of the town? Anyway, there's a studio up there this guy owned. And we found it through the guy who produced, this guy named Benji, Benji King, who has passed away. And Chad met Benji on a flight to Geneva with his parents, saw this guy carrying a keyboard. Actually, that's how we got our manager too. Wow. Because Benji King was in a cover. Benji King played in a bunch of pretty well-known bands. And unfortunately, I can't remember the name of many of them right now, but he was a keyboard player, but he also produced. And so he was like, he told Chad talked to him on the plane. He's like, "Hey, you should, hook up with this guy, David Sestek." So that's how we got David, because Benji worked with David. And then once we figured out we're making a record, then we had Benji produce the record.
Okay.
And Benji picked this studio. It's all Eastern PA stuff, man. It's all homies from Eastern PA.
Nice.
So we made that record. We got we had the cassettes the night of our graduation, because I remember us holding them and like fucking graduating. And right after that summer is when we started playing at CBGB's.
Wow.
We graduated.
So
we played our first gig sometime that summer.
Got you. I'm a big fan of that of the Public Affection album, Death of a Dictionary. I mean, Morning Humor, Paper Flowers. I was always hoping that you guys would bring one or two of those songs back into your set list, but I don't think you've played anything from that album since Mental Jewelry came out. I mean, I'm thinking.
No. Nope. Good Pain was on that record. So
we
played that touring. And I think there was one other song that was on that record. That
was on Mental Jewelry as well, you're saying?
Yeah.
I know Good Pain for sure. And what a difference in versions, man. Like, a lot of times you hear people re-record songs that they once had, and their vision isn't as cool as it once was. That is a song that became way better, man. That's a fucking great, great song. There's more
passion
in it.
Oh, Good Pain. Yeah, that was like, we love that record. I mean, love that song.
Hell yeah. Great, great, great song.
Trying to look up the playlist.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. You guys should re-release that and put it out on Apple. I mean, your fans would love to hear that stuff. And it's never been officially released since, Live became Live, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it hasn't. It's someone the other day just wrote me and said, is this only available on cassette? I'm like, yeah, it is only available on cassette.
Yeah. Isn't that strange?
Unfortunately.
Let me ask you this, Chad, because you were talking about, you know, the girls going crazy at the eighth grade dance and stuff. So you kind of got a glimpse of, you know, what it's like to be a rock star. What is like your, have you had a crazy fan moment where you're like, yo, this person, I don't know here. They're a little nuts. Like, because, I mean, you guys, you know, your fans are die hard. I mean, they really dig, you know, you guys and the music. So I could see them being, you know, sometimes above and beyond.
I never had anything too crazy in, like, personally in someone's personal space. I mean, maybe Ed and Chad have, I don't know, but
right.
Me personally, I mean, cause I'm the drummer. I'm like kind of invisible anyway. I like it that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, all the fucking crazies go to Ed.
Right. Like,
they want to talk about the lyrics and stuff, you know?
Yeah. I was,
yeah. There's been some online that have been like, what the fuck, man? There's actually last episode, my mom.
How's the kids?
Bobby.
Bobby. Mute.
I'm muted.
And it's your ex one, dude. It's X that's coming through. Sorry, guy. Let me see. Let me boot X real quick. See if I could do that.
You know, my kids love their grandparents.
There we go. Mute.
Boot X.
Got it. Muted. There we go. All righty. Sorry about that, folks.
It's all right. So my mom was saying that there was some girl making comments last our last episode on Facebook, making some crazy shit. And my mom's like, yeah, this girl saying all this live should sue this and that. I'm like, what's her name? He's like, oh, yeah, I know who that is.
Dude, okay. You don't even know all the crazies that come through on there.
Yeah.
And I try to take my time and talk, you know, to everybody who reaches out. But sometimes I'm like, really, person, you're a little strange.
Yeah, it's okay.
Par for the course, though.
Yeah, but no one's that's been like dangerous or anything like that. Like, it's never been. You know, we got some crazy fan letters. We used to. I mean, when we started getting fan mail back in like the '90s, we would read through it and shit and. Some of it was fucking nutty, but you know, you expect that. But nothing that was ever like, we got to get, you know, security guards for our families and shit, that kind of stuff.
Nobody asked you to send them a soiled piece of underwear.
No, we did collect a whole bunch of bras one time up on playing a college in 2000.
Yes.
I think we got like 150 bras. It was pretty sweet.
Fuck yeah.
Good night.
I don't know if you, but Bobby was asking if you could send him a soiled piece of underwear. So that's why I brought it up.
Yeah, man. No problem.
he wants to clone you. I think Chad Gracie 2.0.
Yeah. Well, what do you use skin cells for that? Cause I'm shooting blanks. The second me. No problem.
Well, what didn't they clone a sheep back in the day, Dolly? And then like, I haven't heard about cloning since. Like what happened there?
Yeah, they did clone Dolly. I don't know.
Like, are they still clone? Like, I think I just heard that Barbara Streisand, it's like a Z. It's not Streisand. It's Streisand. Anywho, I heard she had her dog cloned. Yeah.
So yeah, I heard that. Could.
I guess you could if you got that loot, man.
Yeah, whatever. So that's brings you to the question, like, is that really that dog? I mean... You know, if you believe that everything has a soul, then would the soul come back into that fucking dog?
Right. Yeah, because that's strange. Like, are you splitting the soul in half? Are you creating something that looks and thinks like the previous? Or, you know,
it's they're freezing people's bodies or their heads in the hopes of bringing them back to life one day. It's like, well, is it going to be them? Like, is it what energy? Is going to occupy that person. Like who's going to be, is it really that's the person?
That's right? A great thing, man.
Yeah. There's this book called The Untethered Soul, which is fucking great. It's a great book.
Yeah.
You know, Bobby,
I muted him. Cause I don't know what the fuck he's doing today. I'm about to choke him out.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yes. I know the book.
It's a great book, right? I mean, it's like, it ties together, like, you know, kind of all the major religions' view on what happens to you or It also like goes into reincarnation, because basically like this doctor who wrote the book, and I can't remember his name right now, he regressed these people back to their energy state, soul state, whatever. And he would regress them back to the point where they were in the realm, whatever you want to call that, heaven. And in that realm, they could choose their mother to come back to Earth.
Wow.
Right. And so you would say, well, why would you choose a mother like in what are the Iraqi Kurds that are getting murdered, you know, whatever? Why would you choose that life? It's like, well, you choose that life because you have to learn lessons to attain higher levels in this realm.
Wow. Right?
And so it's really fucking cool to read. And you're like, now, if this is true, our energy never dies and we come back. And that's when you have like soulmates. They can be your best friend or your wife or your husband. And,
right.
And we'll come back as like different, you know, different genders, different sexes.
Yeah.
I don't know about the 180 genders, but come back as you can come back as one or two.
See, my only problem with that author is I'm never choosing a fucking Iraqi Kurd mother. Like, so I'm just going to be bound to this earth forever. I'm never going to learn the lessons I need to. You know what I'm saying?
Well, well, the other part is while you're here is that you forget about that being there. Right. Yeah. But then you have these instances where these little kids are like, they remember like being in World War II and flying with all these, like being a pilot. There's this kid that was in Missouri or something. He remembered being a pilot until he's about 4 or 5 years old. He remembered being a pilot in World War II, and he could name all the fucking people that was in a squadron and shit.
Wow.
Like, never had even heard of any of this. But he was going, yeah, I flew with John and David and blah. And they went back and did research on this thing, and they found these fucking people and the squadron he was in.
Holy shit.
So that's like you come back for a little while. You can remember your previous life, but while you're here occupying, this is all according to the book. I'm not saying this is what's happening, but like while you're in this, while you're on Earth occupying this body, you don't really remember all that stuff.
Sure.
So then when you die, you go back up there. Now you realize what's going, you know, that you're the soul energy or whatever.
Because if you did remember, you would basically not be learning the lesson. You would pretend to learn the lesson. So
exactly. Great book. Good. It's a good read.
I always talk shit on Scientology because of like what they like. Once you get to like level 8, they start telling you about like the thetans and like, you know, getting thrown into volcanoes and going into everybody's soul. But I mean, how fucking, and I rip on it because L. Ron Hubbard came up with it. He was the fucking biggest science fiction author ever. But how much different is it than any other religion when you fucking think about it? People from the sky came down, fucking made Adam, took dirt and his rib and fucking created Eve. Like, it's not far off. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. The religion origins are all fucking kind of weird. I mean, they're just all like, I mean, did that really happen? Did Jesus? I mean, I believe Jesus walked the earth. He was a person, but did he actually die and come back to life? And did that really happen? Who knows?
Right.
Maybe it did. I mean, I believe there are enlightened beings that walk the earth, like people that are, you know, maybe, I don't know, I guess best word is enlightened, that they.
Yeah.
Ascended masters.
What kind of man?
Ascended master.
There you go.
Like Moses, supposedly lived, he was like 600 years old. How the fuck did Moses live for 600 years? You know what I'm saying?
Yoda, like, man. That's fucking Yoda.
So I'm watching. Have you seen Manifest, dude?
The show?
On Netflix, yeah.
Like the show about when they were in a plane and went missing and time warp shit? Yeah. So I watched that from the beginning when it was on network.
Oh,
but
really?
I haven't watched the end of it. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. Spoiler alert.
It's all right.
So they're thinking like, some of the passengers, like, they find this piece of driftwood that's supposedly from Noah's Ark. And, you know, there's still no explanation on how the plane disappeared and stuff. But they're saying that they think some of the passengers, like, are Moses-esque. And they start talking about different theories of Moses. So supposedly what we're told is that God was mad at the world. He told Moses to build the ark. I'm sorry, Noah's ark, right? Noah, yeah. Not Moses. Yeah. He told Noah to build the ark. And they're saying that that's one interpretation. But another interpretation is that Noah asked God to bring this flood, and Noah only wanted to protect his family. So they take him from being good to bad. And you don't know, like, you know, all these stories are passed down, and, you know, you don't know what could technically be, if that was the case, like Noah was like, you know, just so cynical that he was like, I'm only going to take my family. And it brings up another point. Adam and Eve have these kids. They fuck, produce more kids. We're all inbred at that point. Same thing with Noah and his ark.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. He brings him, his wife, and his sons and their girls, and then they repopulate the world. But those are cousins fucking and creating more people. So why would was that okay back in the day? And then now they realize that's not cool.
To have the human race survive, I guess it's okay.
Yeah. Well, that's like I was watching Wall Street, and the guy's he's like, is your wife your cousin? It's Leonardo DiCaprio talking to Jonah Hill. And yeah. Jonah Hill just plays along. He's like, yeah, you know, she grew up hot. And as I'm thinking, like, my friends wanted to fuck my cousin, but no, you're not going to fuck my cousin. I'm going to fuck my cousin. He's like, so, you know, we got married, had kids. And Leo's like, aren't you worried about the kids like being slow or something? He's like, yeah, we're worried. He's like, what are you going to do if one of them is, you know, take him out to a field, drop him off and go about my day. But he's bullshitting the whole thing. He didn't marry his cousin, and it was just funny the way it went about.
Dude, his fucking character, Jonah Hill's character in that movie, is so fucking great. It's so
the best. The best.
So hilarious.
when he gets Leo D to smoke crack for the first time in that little fucking back booth, and he's like, I want to run. And we just get crazy. That's the start of, dude, that guy, man, if that was really his life, Jordan Belfort, I mean, that's fucking...
I think it's supposed to be pretty close to it, but
yeah.
It's fucking wild, man.
Flying on choppers, you know, he's flying all quaaluded out and fucking insane.
Yeah, so that was, they were talked about in the movie, like quaaludes. You can't get quaaludes anymore, right? They stopped making them.
Right.
And what were the ones that they really liked? There was like yellow bees or something like that. They were like the fucking best ones or something.
Yeah, yellow lemons or some shit like that.
Why did they stop making quaaludes? Because everyone was abusing them, probably.
Yes. I think for the same reason they started, like, you know, back in the day, bear made heroin that was bought on the shelves. I think the same thing with the, I think quaaludes are technically barbiturates, but it's the first time where, I mean, because now technically I think like Xanax is close to that, but I'm not sure, but it makes me wonder why. I guess it was just being so abused and not really prescribed that they just stopped making it. But if I would like to try.
Yeah, I mean, what does it do to you?
Right,
that's barbiturate like.
Yeah, well, you see him, you could barely talk and stuff like that. Like, the best is when he goes to take his the Lamborghini out, and he thinks he gets home safe, and he fucking
dips. Oh yeah. Bobby says Xanax is close to it, but less powerful than quaaludes.
Ah, wow, less powerful. So. You guys were getting stuff back then.
Guess so, man. The fucking 80s are just wild. Just, I mean, 80s on the Wall Street, 80s in music. I mean, we kind of got like the tail end of it as we started coming in. Like the beginning of the 90s were still kind of like the 80s of music.
Yeah.
And that was, and not that we were got into like the debauchery of it, but like the record companies had fucking boat tons, you know, shit tons of money, and they would just fucking take you out to strip clubs and fucking dinners and just fucking wine and dine your ass. So, we got some of that, but it's just, you know, it's just fucking wild, man. Like you hear the stories about Motley Crue and Ozzy and those motherfuckers touring, and
yeah,
like, they're all fucking Led out of their minds and shit. Yeah. It's like, wow,
fucking total debauchery.
Like real groupies. That was like real groupies back in the day.
right. Total debauchery.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think now. Because wasn't it back in the day, like the record company, they made majority of the money off your records, but the artists and toured, and they basically made that money. I think now the record company has their hand in all of it. They're taking money from your
tour. They try to do 360 deals. Yes.
Crazy.
If Fuck no. If you're an artist, you're an up and coming artist, never do that.
Yeah.
Never let the fucking record company in on your touring or your merchandise. No, no, no.
No, no, no. That's for you and you alone. I mean, that's just insane that they're trying to do that. And I get it because you don't need a record company anymore. If you got somebody with some shekels and some marketing and some home studio equipment, you can make an album just as good as a studio.
Yes. Oh, hell yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
And then if you have somebody marketing for you, you know, it's
going to be able to pay them.
Bobby, what are you talking about NFTs? Because I have so much problem with NFTs that, you know, it just seems like a sham to me. Like
right now it is pretty much a Ponzi scheme. I mean, all of crypto is a Ponzi scheme, to be honest with you. But there are a few companies that will, you know, make it. But as far as NFTs, I was saying that artists could release their own, you know, their own stuff by themselves. Like Tom McDonald is a perfect example of an artist that did his own thing, you know?
That makes sense for me. So using an NFT almost as like a copyright for your own music and stuff like that. But when people are buying fucking pictures that I could take a screenshot of and it's their NFT, fuck off, dude. What?
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Now I own it. I just screenshotted it. You know,
right.
Yeah, they get crazy with them. Yeah,
like what was that one? Something Ape Club or something, and it was just like all these different versions of apes.
Yeah, Bored Ape Club. Yeah,
there you go. Bored Ape Club. Free fuckers out there, but
Bitcoin has these frogs now that went up to about $30,000.
Frogs.
Yeah.
Is it the board? I mean, it is cool art and stuff like that, what I saw. But, you know, Justin Bieber was like buying them for $400,000. And I think the promise was is if it was used in any type of media, you know, you get a portion of it since you own it. But
yes,
you know, it just seems like all bullshit. I saw on Rogan, Beeple, he actually creates art. And it's an NFT that I kind of get. Cause again, that's like your copyright and your own shit. But when you're buying NFTs from somebody else, total Ponzi scheme to me, you know?
Yep. See, it's definitely fucking scammy. That's for sure.
Yeah. We got to figure out how to, you know, I'll take pictures of my poop and make an NFT if anybody wants it.
Yeah.
Are you still into, I don't know if we've talked about this or if you do talk about it, the Bitcoin thing, mining?
Yeah.
Do you still mess with that?
I still mess with that, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. That's we were talking about it one time, because some the people trying to get you to not Bitcoin mine, they try to make you say, well, it costs too much energy, you pay more in energy than you would actually mine, and that's not the case, you know?
Well, it depends on how much you're paying for your energy and...
Ah.
So where you're getting it from. Yeah.
Got you. So for all you people out there, go mine away, but make sure you're getting that clean, cheap energy. You see on your iPhone, you could like pick to only charge it when you're like in the clean energy zone, which I looked is like fucking midnight to like 3 o'clock in the morning. that's when it's the, you know, bowls and all that. Yeah, stuff.
Right. But like, what clean energy is that? It's not fucking solar. Well, it could be wind, but it's not solar.
right. Solar, wind, water. I feel like if they just put turbines in all of our rivers, they're out of sight. They're out of mind. Probably better than wind energy. Like Elon Musk said, he needs 100 by 100 miles of solar panels, and he could energize the entire United States. 100 by 100 miles. That's nothing. And he could, you know, give us energy throughout the whole United States. And if that's the fucking case and we're not hopping on that, there's a fucking problem, dude, in my eyes. And I believe.
Well, I mean, he knows what he's talking about and I believe him. I guess they also need batteries as well.
Right.
Store it. Right. But yeah, I mean, that's the size of the solar field you need to make that enough energy, which seems You know, he put 100 square miles into the fucking some of this desert out here in the country, in you know, Western United States.
Right.
Okay, great. Seems doable.
Definitely. And then you could literally put the batteries fucking 30 feet underground below the solar field, and it's, you know, it's all encompassed. It's all in one fucking area. You're not even seeing the batteries.
Right.
And that's good because it'll keep the batteries at a good temperature. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't get.
Well, one of the problems is like all the, and this is a stupid thing in America, like all the grids are not interconnected.
Right.
In America. So that's,
you know. Texas learned that the hard way, I think.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, it doesn't make sense that that's the case, but that's how it is.
Well, I guess if you were to have a blackout in New York and it were to affect the whole United States, maybe that's why they separate them like that. So I kind of see why. But yeah, you would think an internet interconnected system that they could shut off here, shut off there would be the best. But who are we? We're just dumb people.
Exactly. We're just, you know, stupid people talking yeah. bullshit.
We're just living on this earth. And, you know, it's just strange when like, the simple things make sense, and like something like that could have been done all this time, and yet we're just burning massive amounts of coal and all this shit and polluting. Like, forget what it's doing to the environment on a whole, but just go to one of those coal burning towns, and you could see on these people's cars, on their houses, the soot that falls out of the fucking earth. I mean, that, you know, falls out of the sky from the coal burning. Like, that's on a massive scale, but like in a small town where it's going on, you could physically see it. So mm-hmm. just imagine what all those particles are doing as they're, you know, all over the place burning coal for that. It's
sure. And meanwhile, China and India are building coal plants at a fucking record pace too.
Yeah, man. If you look at, I guess, carbon emissions, like, yeah, we're I think we're third on the list, but China is ahead by so much. It's not even crazy. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, Bobby said that China wears masks for the smog, but when I went there to visit, and I was asking everybody because they were wearing masks, they were really said that they were doing it not for smog, because that doesn't do dick for smog. They said that it was really to stop, you know, the spread of colds and flus and stuff like that. But I would say like 80% of the people were masked way before COVID. I was there.
What's funny about that, if that's the case, is that, you know, smog particles are way bigger than virus particles.
Right. Right. So,
like, what are your masks doing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Right. Yeah. China's crazy, though. There's ghost cities over there because uh-huh. they're just ramping up, building stuff like crazy. And then, you know, there are people that would be living in these places. They don't have the money for it. So, like, the developers and government do, but not the people.
Well, no. So they built those cities because they all Chinese people were encouraged to invest in real estate, so they buy like second, third houses as investments.
Ah,
and so there are these huge Chinese, you know, company or government-backed companies that were building all these houses and saying, you know, all the citizens are like, oh, we're buying real estate, you know,
right?
But they're putting money into literally towns that are have nobody in them.
Yeah,
right. So when you have that much property, they have like. I read this thing where they have double the population amount of properties in the country.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So you have, what, 1.4 billion people? You have like 2.8 billion houses in fucking China.
Crazy. That's crazy.
And half of them are not occupied because they're just bought. But what's happening is in China, when you invest in a real estate project, like a brand new real estate project,
yeah.
In the U.S., like, they're building a house and you say, I want to buy that house, right? And you sign a contract. You don't start paying for that house until they fucking deliver it to you.
Right.
In China, you want to buy that apartment or that house. You start paying for it as soon as you sign for it. So what's happening is these companies are starting to go bankrupt. They're not finishing the houses. These people are now paying for something that's not even finished or even fucking started for that matter. And they're all starting to rebel against it. It's like a gigantic housing bubble in China. That yeah, is going to burst.
Well, it's just funny, though, the people developing, you know, they set the price of what the house is, and then all of a sudden they go bankrupt while making these houses. It's like, no, motherfucker, this was your plan all along, and you're mm-hmm. fucking siphoning money somewhere and then fuck over thousands, millions of people, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And you would
That's
hope
a big problem.
Yeah. You would hope in America there's a course of action for that, which I'm pretty sure there is, but I guess over there you're just up shit.
Well, you can sue in America. I don't know if you can sue these companies in China. Well, they go bankrupt and go out of business and everyone's just fucked.
Especially since the government is basically the one sanctioning those companies. Like, you're not doing business in China without the government saying, okay. So it's like they're in bed with each other, and the government probably saw like more money in their pocket, letting them go out and keeping the money. I mean, I don't know. That's being cynical, but it just seems weird and strange like that.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty wild.
Dude, they eat crazy over there, man.
I've heard that. I've never been.
So the wet markets, like, I got to see what that shit is like, and it's literally, you know, raw sewage running behind these street vendors, and they're, you know, got fucking bats, chickens, all stuff hanging out in the heat, just getting sun beat on them with this nasty shit smell. So you got rotting animals and raw sewage, and you're getting a smell of that. And Oh my God.
Yummy.
Yeah. Like, after I saw that, I was like, I'm surprised there's not more disease over here. Like, you're eating and cooking that close to raw shit. That, you know, so when I first heard about COVID, I was like, oh, that's possible. You know, it came from a bat. You know, they tricked me pretty good. as you start to look into it, you're like, oh no, you guys were doing that research in that town and it started there. Yeah. Right. Probably from a bat. Sure.
And that research was sent there by Obama.
Oh, and Fauci. Not that research. They were funding other research there.
That's right. Know? They were funding not gain of function research.
The fuck?
And according to Fauci, it's not gain of function when you make a virus more able to infect people. That's not gain of function.
Dude, that.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Right. I mean, the flip-flops that guy had, you know, in the beginning when we didn't have enough PPE for like the EMTs and hospitals and stuff like that, don't wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Then
yeah, they don't do anything, don't have to wear them.
Right. Okay. And then 3 weeks later, we got a whole shipment in, mask up, you have to be masked, you could spread the virus.
Now wear two masks, now wear three masks.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, how about fuck off?
And it's like, how about people just, I don't know. I just wish people would discuss this more and just be more open. Like, don't be so closed. I guess that's my point for every time I speak. It's just, don't be so closed-minded and don't take what people tell you as face value. Look into stuff, because we need to wake up as a fucking society, as a people of Earth. The whole Earth needs to wake up. I mean, we are all one people breathing the same fucking air. So what our politicians and governments do to divide us is not cool anymore. And we have the power to communicate properly now. And we could talk to people in China. We could talk to people in India. And we could literally solve a lot of shit by talking things out and really discussing and seeing who the fucking bad apples are in this world and getting rid of them. Getting rid of them.
Exactly. Vote them out or use your dollars not to pay the companies that are doing this to you. I mean, it's wild. It's wild, and people just don't want to fucking, you know, that they're completely wrong and they don't want to admit it.
At some point you become complicit and you don't become wrong. You actually become part of the problem. And you know, that's where the issues lie. Anybody could be wrong. You know, I'm wrong fucking more than half the time, but when I am, I acknowledge it. And then I, you know, try to do right, which somehow we've lost that as a fucking society. And we really do have so much power with our communication that we have now. Like, it doesn't need to be so closed off and you know, the world leaders giving us the information, because they're giving us the wrong information.
Right. And then through COVID, it's like they started doing research or reading like a bad thing. Like, don't do your own research.
Right.
What are you talking about? Oh, right. You're going to go research that on Google? Oh, okay. Dr. Google. It's like, right. No, I just find stuff that actually seems to be true, and then it turns out to be true.
Yeah.
But that's then censored by the media and fucking social media and whoever else. But then it becomes true and everyone's like, oh yeah, it was true. Like,
right.
I knew it was true in fucking 2020.
Well, it shows
I'm crazy.
Yeah. Well, it showed that they're scared of us communicating and discussing stuff. Like, when you can't discuss stuff out in the open, there's something wrong.
Oh, well, when you can't discuss something out in the open, that means there's hiding something.
Right.
But what they do is they turn everybody against the people that are like trying to tell everybody what's really going on.
Yes.
They're crazy. Don't talk. Right. Don't listen to them.
Eric,
there's this, that one comedian, I forget his name right now, but he was saying, he's like, what if you applied that kind of logic to buying a car? It's like, I'm going to go buy a car. It's like, don't look into it. Don't do any research on that car. Well, how am I supposed to know what the car's about? Ask the salesman. He's the expert.
Well put. That's a great analogy.
Don't do any research. What do you read now? What's wrong with you?
Like, you're going to ask questions? What?
Yeah, exactly. You're going to read and ask questions? What is wrong with you? I don't know. Just want to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Dude, it was scary for a second, man. Like, I think if Rogan didn't go to Spotify when he did, he was 100% going to be canceled off of YouTube and would have been scrambling on his own shit. And he was a fucking beacon of light during this whole he was like the only person who could talk openly about stuff and not really, you know, worried about being canceled because his audience was so big and Spotify was cool, fortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yep. And him and then Elon. I mean,
yes.
Fucking Twitter to save it.
Yes. I want to applaud that guy. He puts his money where his mouth is, not just with buying Twitter, but with $44 billion for Twitter he paid for, way overvalued. He knows it.
Right.
And now he doesn't care so much that major advertisers leaving, and he just said, fuck you, leave that.
Exactly. Or they're trying to tell him what not to put up or what to say. He's just like, fuck you.
Right.
No.
I love it. And we need
more. Yeah, exactly. But then the left like is against him. I'm like, why? Because he lets hate speech on there.
Oh, please.
It's hate speech. Anything you don't agree with is hate speech. That's the problem with calling it hate speech.
Right. He gets the propaganda and puts it a spin on it so you could see, oh shit, they're fucking lying to us right now. And then he lets the other voices on the other side speak. That's what a free society is. You have kooks, you have people on the, you know, that are right. You let them all mesh together and, you know, the best wins usually.
I think it's amazing he's letting Alex Jones back on the fucking platform.
Me too. I mean,
he shouldn't have been taken off anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, the Sandy Hook thing is fucked up. He got that wrong, but he's the fucking shit that he's predicted prediction. He's learned about, told everybody about before it happened.
Right.
It's been pretty fucking amazing.
Can I share some real quick?
Yeah, hold sure. on. Bobby, hold that thought one second, because I just want to ask one thing. Now, he went to court for the shit he said about Sandy Hook. And
yeah, the family sued him, yeah.
Okay, and I believe, you know, that's 100% wrong, but what he was saying. But we do live in America with free speech. What he was saying wasn't creating, you know, violence or inciting a riot. He was stating his opinion. How the fuck did he get sued and actually lose for saying words? And it was a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, that's the one good things and bad things about America. You can sue anybody for anything, but, you know, you get your day in court.
Right. And the court got it wrong there, in my opinion. Bobby, we'll let you get your thought out, and we'll wrap.
I want to show a funny picture somebody sent me. I want to share it with you guys. It's of
because we only like dick pics here.
October's over. What are you talking about?
October is over. It's bend over December.
What do you got, Bobby?
Yeah, what do you got?
All right. Let me find it.
I'm supposed to have this up before he tells about it.
Yeah, my God. Our producer.
I had it. And then it disappeared. Oh, here it is. Here it is. All right.
The return.
Nice. Yes. That's fucking great. That's funny. Oh, they couldn't find any more fucking crazy liberals than those two?
You know?
I know, right?
The truth will be heard once again. They could get.
You see the gay frogs?
Is that Stephen Hawking's in the back? Who is that?
No, it's that freak girl.
Yeah, there's two of them. There's two of those screaming fucking
Greta fucking.
No, it's not. No, I wish it was Greta Thunberg. It's not her.
Some liberals.
Yo, I don't know, but Is it a guy or girl in the background? I'm not being funny here. I'm just really.
They're two girls. Well, I mean, we probably misgendered them, so now we're going to get canceled, but whatever.
Please.
The one with the glasses, she was on the day that Trump got elected, she was filmed in fucking DC going, like fucking screaming her head off like a fucking maniac. Right. And then that other one, I've seen her, the other one with glasses, the one with the beanie on was the one screaming in that when Trump got elected. The other one, I don't know, but I've seen her.
She was at like Hillary's fucking DNC or some shit. Like, was that her? Because I remember, my God, maybe. When that word came out, it looked like fucking they just ate a shit sandwich, man. They were fucking
did.
Insane.
They fucking did.
Yeah, I mean, oh, God. And it wasn't as bad as the second election where people got fucked and all that stuff. But you can't say that. I mean, the election was real. No fraudulent activity going on there at all.
No.
I wonder, I mean, there had to be back in the day when George Washington, you were voting for him, like, what were they, paper ballots and all that shit? Imagine all the corruption that could happen back then.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. Were people more honest back then? I'm not sure.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I feel like they were doing crazy shit back in the day. Like Romans were fucking like little kids, like back in the day, and it was acceptable. Like people spoke about it, and it's like, oh, you know, I'm gonna go bang with it. Like, and it was okay. Pedophilia was okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And I think that went pretty far up until when it became unacceptable, which is insane as a fucking society. That they didn't know back in the day, like, oh, they're not fully formed human beings, like we could fuck them up royally and create vicious cycles,
right?
Yeah, but I was just reading about that somewhere and it blew my mind, and then I was like, oh shit, like think about Socrates and shit, like he had like a fucking 13-year-old stable boy chilling with him and shit, like crazy stuff.
Interesting.
Yes, and we'll leave it there, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
The Gracious Two, back again. Next week, we have a cool guest coming on. Steve Savo is his name. Cool dude, longtime live fan. And he does some cool stuff himself. He's got sons that are really cool, man, that they're making their own movies and stuff. And he sent me some trailers and stuff. They're really fucking produced well, written well, acted well. So he'll be on. He's got a lot of questions for you, Chad. And I said, we'll
do my best.
Yeah. I said, we'll debut some of his son's stuff and show the audience cool. That. It's cool, man. So I'm excited. Again, apologies about today, folks, but it is a live show and we do run into stuff here and there. So that's why we were guestless this week. But it was good to catch up with you, Chad, because there's a lot of times we get going and then the guest comes in and we got to stifle it. My ADHD kicks in. Yours kicks in. We forget what we were talking about. Never.
Exactly. You're like, what? Wait a minute. What were we talking about?
Right.
It's all good.
But thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Go to any of our social medias. I believe I have links popped up there for the gear and for all of our audio and videos and stuff like that. So, Chad, I'll give you that link for the gear. But thank you guys for being with us, checking us out, and we hope to keep entertaining.
Bobby, peace, everyone.
Tell the audience.
Thank you.
Later. He's quiet now. He's fucking loud as fuck during the show, but...
I didn't mean to be making noise. That was the other computer I had to walk away from, and there's somebody in that room. I forgot to mute.
Let me stop this live stream.
Still live.
Yes.
Yeah.
Later, folks.
Bye, everyone.